Genesis, the 37th chapter, beginning in verse number 18. The Bible reads, "And when they saw him afar off," this is Joseph and his brothers, "when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh." Didn't say, "Behold, our brother cometh." Didn't say, "Behold, the little brother comes." Didn't say, "Behold, dad's favorite comes." He said, "Behold, this dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." I want to preach for a few moments, and I'm sorry that I'm between you and that smell in the hallway, but I will do my best to be very timely so that we can eat in fellowship today. But I want to preach for a few moments. Don't settle for less than the dream. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these precious people that are here today. Thank you for your spirit that has been moving here already this day, and hearts that have been touched, and the response of faith and the response in worship today to your presence. Lord, ask you to order my steps and the remainder of this service, Lord, and we give you praise for it all in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Lord, bless you this morning, and you may be seated. I love to dream. In fact, I tell folks, I have more dreams than what I have life to live. It's just who I am. It probably drives my wife crazy. Since we were here last, we celebrated our business anniversary. We started our 7th year 2 weeks ago, or 1 week from yesterday. And it's not a miracle that we're still in business. It's a miracle that she has not killed me yet. We work together. We're together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we made an agreement years ago when we go to work, there has to be a boss. We've learned that. It's like they've always said, you know, two heads is a monster. There's got to be somebody in charge, Pastor. And we had an executive council meeting, and we decided that I would be the boss at work. And that has been a minefield at times. And so it's a miracle that she has not killed me in my sleep, or that I have not woken up with like a swollen face and her be like, "Baby, I don't know what happened. Did something bite you in the middle of the night? I don't know, babe, I can't talk." You know, but I'm always dreaming. I'll sit around, I think of a way that we can expand. We can knock that wall out. We can bring this in. We can, we can go over here. We can open a second location over there. We can do this. We can do that. And I'm not an idle-minded person. I'm just always thinking and dreaming and just, I'll wake up with an idea and I just, maybe we can do this, we can do that. And I tell folks all the time, I say, I got more dreams than what I have life to live. But I've learned in my short time in this world, I will be 39 years old at the end of this month, and I have learned in my short time that from the birth of a dream to the fulfillment of that dream is a road full of adversity. It's a road full of hindrances. It's a road full of frustrations. It's a road full of life lessons and heartaches and trials and disappointments. I can imagine Joseph woke up that morning and he began to share his dream with his brothers. Y'all were bowing down to me. Mom and dad were even bowing down to me. How excited he must have been of the possibilities of what that could have represented for his life. But from that moment to the moment that it would come to pass, it was a long journey. I remember when I began to feel the call to evangelize full time, and I would share that with a few folks, and I never forget making the statement, "I think I'll be gone in a matter of months." That's the way it felt to me. It was so strong. It was so heavy upon my heart. I felt that anointing so strong on my life. I said, in the matter of months, I'm going to be out here. God's about to throw doors open. I'm fixing to be traveling this country and this world because I can see it so clearly and I can feel it so strongly. But it was almost 2.5 years later before we ever sold our home and quit our jobs and we hit the road full time evangelizing. And on that 2.5 years of between the time where I knew what God was wanting to do until the time I stepped into that position and that role and that ministry, there were a lot of ups and downs and a lot of frustrations and a lot of things that I learned and a lot of battles I had to go through and a lot of growth that I had to develop within my life. And there are people here this morning and people in churches all around this world today that have started out on great journeys in life, have made great choices and made great decisions on their lives and have pitched their tent in a great direction for their lives. But somewhere along the way, it was one pothole too many. It was one detour too many. Nothing drives me more crazy driving across the country and hit a detour and you got to go off the interstate and you got to go 30 miles that way and 40 miles that way and 20 miles that way and 10 miles this way. 2 hours later, you end up back on the main interstate. That's the way life sometimes goes. And there's a lot of folks that have started out on the interstate and they've headed in the right direction and they've got the right motives and the right intentions, but one detour too many, one pothole too many, one roadblock too many, one discouragement too many, and we end up in a place of frustration and we end up in a place of disappointment. We end up in a place that we think we'll never arrive, we'll never get there, and what happens is we end up settling. We end up settling somewhere that God never wanted us to be. We'll end up settling short of what the dream was. We'll end up settling short of what the goal was. We'll begin to settle for something less than what the ultimate destination that God had for our lives. Joseph encountered numerous attempts to discourage his journey. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. In Potter's house, he was lied upon. In prison, he was forgotten by the butler. But more importantly, we got to realize every opportunity that Joseph had to just settle. Every moment in his life where he could have said, you know what? I kind of like Potiphar's house. It's kind of comfortable around here. He's given me the keys to the house. I'm running his books. I'm running his business. I'm over all the other servants. I've got my own bed, my own room. I've got my own house out here. Everything's good. I kind of go and come as I want in the property. I've been elevated among everybody else. I have found favor in the eyes of Potiphar. Everything, I can just settle and be right here. In fact, Potiphar's wife has even offered to give herself to me. Just look how favored I am. Look how everything's just falling in place into my life. I could just become content right here. I could become content in the prison. I've been elevated once again in the prison. I'm above all the other prisoners. I've found favor in the eyes of the guards. I've found favor in the eyes of the other cellmates. I've been elevated once again. This has just become comfortable. I'm running the prison. The guards take afternoons off. I'm left in charge. I'm managing everything that's going on around here. It just seems like everywhere I go, everything works out for me, and I find a place of comfort somewhere in my life, and I could sit around here and I can say, you know what? This feels pretty good. I know it's not the end result. I know it's not what God wanted me to be. I know it's not the destination I originally started out with in my life, but I have found that I am comfortable here. I find that I'm at peace here. I can find that I don't have to sacrifice no more. I don't have to work hard anymore. I don't have to press through anything. I've just found a place of comfort. Can I tell you this morning that comfort is the crippling disease of your life? One of the worst places for some folks to be in their life is comfortable. Everything's just fine. The bills get paid every month. There's actually a little bit left over at the end of the month, and when everything goes out, the roof is fine, the building is fine, my family's fine, everything's going good. I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to sacrifice anymore. I can maintain where I'm at right now on the smallest level of work and dedication that I have to give forth into it. No more early mornings, no more late nights. That's when a lot of businesses go under. That's when a lot of churches begin to plateau. That's when a lot of families begin to plateau. That's
That's when a lot of spiritual encounters in people's lives begin to plateau, when they become comfortable with where they're at and they've stepped into ankle deep water and they enjoy splashing the water around and they splash it on one another. I love going to the beach and get the girls down there and you get in that ankle deep water and man, you just kick it around and you put your hand down there and you just throw it up on your kids and you're having a little fun. You just splash it around, but then you start getting out. Anybody ever been to the beach before? I just want to make sure everybody knows what I'm talking about. Good. And you splash around that ankle deep water, then all of a sudden you start getting out and it's 2 and 3 and 4 feet, and all of a sudden now the waves are coming in. And what happens when the waves are coming in? Now you're putting your body into those waves. Sometimes you're having to dive under the waves because the waves will keep pushing you back. It's the move, it's the flow, it's the current of that water that is moving, it's stirring. And all of a sudden you spend 30, 45 minutes out in the deeper waters out there, and what happens? You become tired. You become wearied a little bit. In the ankle deep waters, I can walk for miles. I can kick water all day long. I can feel the water. It's touching my life. It's touching my body. But to get out where that water comes up to the knees and that water comes up to the waist. See, sadly, and I am so dismayed in my travels as I travel all over this world of people that are settling for ankle deep water in their life when God has waters for them to swim in. Folks that have settled for something less than what God has for their life. Folks that have settled for just this barely get by mentality, that they're not living in overcoming power. They're not living in the overflow of the Spirit. Their cup is not running over. They look in their cup and they say, there's a little bit left in the bottom. The bottom of the cup is covered. We'll be all right. There's just, you can't see the bottom yet, but you can see the sides and everything else. There's just a little bit covering the bottom down there. We'll be all right. We'll just settle all what we have. When I come to church, I don't want to settle. When I come to church, I don't want the bottom just to be covered. When I come to church, I want my cup running over. I want the Spirit and the power of God running over. I don't want to just come and say, what's the least that I have to do? I don't want to open the Word of God and say, what's the least I need to do, Pastor? I don't want to, like I said in the first service, say, what's the least I got to do at the edge of the sheep flock that I can get by with where I'm at. I want to dive into this thing head first. I want to get in the deep things of God. I'm one of those. I want to get on the diving board. I just want to jump in. Don't get over on the steps and work your way in and get comfortable sitting on the steps of the swimming pool and just kicking your feet around in the shallow things of God over there. Get out in the deep things of God. Make the sacrifice and learn how to swim. Make the sacrifice and learn how to move in the Spirit. Make the sacrifice and learn how to intercede in prayer. Make the sacrifice and learn how to worship and enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Make the sacrifice that says, I'm not going to take the easy way, but I'll make every sacrifice needed to get to where God wants me to be. Because where God wants me to be and where God wants you to be may be two completely different things. And see, we settle because we see other people that settle. Kind of tagging in here a little bit to this first session this morning. That's why I tell folks all the time, you want to learn how to live for God? Look there. I did that at one church one time. I went on this message. I was preaching. I said, look at the pastor. And we got done with the service. He said, man, I'm a nervous wreck. I said, why is that? He said, now all these people, they're looking at me. I think he'll be all right. You want to know how to live for God? Look right there. You want to know how to live for God? Look right there. You want to learn how to pray? Look right there. You want to learn how to worship? Look right there. You want to know how to rightly divide the word of truth? Look right there. Don't go to the shallow end and start talking to somebody that ain't never left the steps, that ain't never left the ankle deep waters. Find somebody that's out in the deeper things of God. Find somebody that's out there swimming and snorkeling and dive. I love to get in the deep end and throw a penny down there in about 12 feet of water. Jump off that diving board and get down there. Pick up that penny and come back. Anybody ever done that before? Find that penny. I want to get those treasures out there that are in the deeper things of God. I want to run with folks. I want to rub shoulders with folks that are in the deep things of God. I don't want to be around somebody that's carnally minded. I don't want to be around somebody that's getting close to the edge. I want to get what God wants for me, and I'm going to get there by shouldering up and siding up with somebody that's as hungry for the things of God that I am. I'm not going to let somebody talk me out of it. I love telling folks my dreams because it tells me who they are. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to go talk to somebody else. Don't stay there too much longer. Man, I got a dream. What's that dream, man? You ain't going to believe it. I got a dream that we'd have a citywide revival. Man, I had a dream the other night. My backslidden husband came back, prayed back through, got his leg, gave his life back. Oh, I don't know. Now settle down, sis, settle down. Let's not get carried away, you know. I had a dream my son came back. I had a dream that my daughter came back. I had a dream that God began to anoint and use my life. And I had a dream. And all of a sudden, he said, all right, settle down. Don't get carried away. We don't, don't get those expectations too high, you know. You may get disappointed. It's like we're setting them up for disappointment. Now we've got them thinking they should be disappointed. At least you did so good singing this morning. Man, I got a dream. I'm just preaching, folks. I got a dream of about 60, 70 young folks in this church, anointed of God, letting their talents and giftings of God flow because we didn't get stuck in our ways and we didn't have a problem opening up ministry of opportunities for our kids to grow and learn and develop, that we taught them how to pray. I pulled a message out the other night and I told my wife, I said, I've been looking for these notes. I said, I'm wanting to start teaching Stephanie how to pray. She knows how to pray in the most basic terms, but she's 13. I pulled out my notes to a prayer journey that I used to teach when I pastored, and I said, I'm fix to start teaching her how to walk through this and how to pray, because I got a dream that my daughter's going to be a prayer warrior for God, and I'm going to feed that dream. I'm not going to harm that dream. I'm not going to kill that dream. I'm not going to try to put disappointment in that dream. I got a dream. I sat last night in my rocker and my recliner, and it rocks. I love to rock, and I sit in there, and it's amazing to me how often God speaks to me in that recliner. Maybe you're going to church to pray. I think I'm going to rock. God speaks in that recliner. You just bring that, you know. I've got a dream that you, I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to the person to your left or your right or in front of you or behind you. I have got a dream that you live in the overflow of God's Spirit for your life. I have a dream that you live in the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding. I have got a dream that you will live with your cup overflowing in your life, that the blessings and the favor of God flow into your life, that the windows of heaven open up over your life and pour the blessings and favor upon. I have a dream of sons and daughters coming back into this place, praying back through. I've got a dream of hog pens emptying out and prodigals coming back to the Father's house. I've got a dream of an elder brother that'll put aside his pride and his anger and the malice in his heart and get right with God and rejoice when the prodigal comes back. I'm talking about every once in a while, you got to start dreaming. You got to dream big. You got to dream bold, because our God is big and our God is bold. I don't like little dreams and little prayers and those little things of God. If you could just move in the ankle deep, but God, you can send a tidal wave in the deeper things of God. You could send waves into our lives that could soak us and saturate us and move us somewhere. David was anointed as a young man to be king, and in the process, the dream of the throne was birthed in him. He could have become content managing his father's sheep. He could have become content killing Goliath. He could have become content leading the armies of Israel, but he wouldn't settle for anything less than the dream. Caleb and Joshua were a part of a multitude in the wilderness heading towards a dream. A dream that had been passed down from generation to generation, that God would visit his people and he would bring them into the promised land. Caleb and Joshua said, you folks can be content drinking water out of a rock and eating manna out of heaven if you want to for the rest of your life, but I will not settle for anything less than a land flowing with milk and with honey. You see, I've got a dream. Altars full every service. I've got a dream. Baptistry using every service. I've got a dream every service. Folks are coming to the altars, not because we beg them, not because we plead with them, but just like this morning, being led of the Spirit of God, stirred in their heart and their spirit, willingly stepping out and coming down to that altar and expressing their praise and their worship and their commitment for God, because there is a tragedy in settling for something less than what God has for your life. There's a tragedy and settling for something less than what God has for your life. Jonah, I need you to get to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah, I need you to get to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm going to head to Tarshish. I'll get in a ship. I'll go as far as I can. Jonah, you don't understand. I need you in Nineveh. I understand you want to settle. I understand you don't want to make the sacrifice. I understand you don't want to make the commitment. I understand that you're scared, Jonah. I understand, Jonah, that you're intimidated by the task that is before you, and that's all right. You should be, and I should be. I said this 2 weeks ago, if the task before you is not greater than your abilities and your talents, it may not be a task from God. It just may be of your own doing, because God will always ask us to go somewhere and do something that we do not possess within ourselves, the strength and the natural ability to do it, but we must depend on the hand and the favor of God. I'm talking about dreaming so big that I cannot do it on my own. I can't bring it to pass on my own. I need God to move. Jonah, I need you to get to Nineveh, because you don't understand. By you settling and going to Tarshish, by you settling and getting on a ship, by you settling and spending 3 days in a belly of a whale, understand that Nineveh is dying and perishing in their sins. I need a prophet. I need a man of God. I need a child of God willing to be used of me. Let me use their voice. Let me use their heart. Let me use their life. Let me speak into the world that is around them, because people are dying and lost and going to hell. And understand, by us settling for something less than what God has for us, we are possibly condemning others to hell. People that stop pursuing after Rachel and decide to settle for Leah. You know the story. He's so smitten with the beauty of Rachel, he worked 7 years for her, only to learn on the honeymoon that in fact he married Leah. Oh, I'll work 7 more and then I'll give you Rachel. I love you, babe. 14 years. Aren't you glad times have changed on some things? Wonder what the thoughts were through his mind. I wonder if somewhere in the back of his mind he just was wondering, you know, Leah is a good cook. Every time I go over to their house, her room's always clean. She knows how to clean. Well, I've seen her out there feeding the camels. Boy, she's a good camel feeder. I've seen some of the outfits she's made and sewed and crocheted, and she's got some talent and ability. I might just settle for Leah. I might just settle from where I'm at right now. Jesus said he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Jesus said he came to give us life and to give it without measure. Jesus said, I come to give you life and to give it overflowing. Jesus said, I came to give you life and for you to experience it in abundance, and I want everything that God has for my life, and I want everything that God has for your life, and I want everything that God has for this church. I want everything that God has for your ministry. I want everything God has for your family. I want everything that God has for your children. I want everything that God has for your marriage. I want everything that God has for this city. I want every possibility that there might be that the hand of God might reach down upon Sulphur, Louisiana, and shake it with a revival like it has never seen before. And I dream that, and I pray that, and I believe that, because I refuse to be a settler. And I believe I'm preaching to a church and standing in a church that are not settlers, that are not content with where you are at. I know that because you're doing something on the other side of the interstate that tells me that you dream bigger than where you are at today. I went to one, 5 minutes, I'm done. I went to one church dedication. They bought another building, sold their building, moved in. They ran about, at that time, 200, 250 people, and they moved into a building of almost 900. Had huge sanctuary, huge balcony. Just the way I think, man, they got a lot of work to do. Feel this thing. See, some folks build it, and they just sit back and relax. We've worked, we're here. We built it, now we got to work. We've been paying bills, we've been saving up, we've been maneuvering, we've been doing all that. Now it's time to do the spiritual work. Now it's time to get in that prayer closet and pray angels down. Now it's time to get in that prayer closet and pray angels to visit those hog pens. Now it's time to get those prodigals forced into that hog pen where they'll get sick and tired of where they're at, and a famine will hit their land and they'll be shaken to their core and move from where they're at, saying, I got to get back to the Father's house. The servants in my Father's house, they live better than I do. I want them to remember the good things of the church. I want them to remember the blessings of the church. I'm dreaming of a day and an hour where the doors open up and people walk in and we blows our mind who walked in, and that they've come back to God and that they're in our altars. I'm dreaming of that moment. Jesus tempted Jesus after his fast, and he offered him all the kingdoms of the earth. If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything, Jesus. But he wouldn't settle. Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of soup. He sells his dream, his destiny, his future for a momentary experience. He settles for something less. And I am preaching to someone. I want you to hear me very specifically. Preaching to somebody who's being tempted to settle. I believe everybody at some point in time in their life is confronted with a buyout option on their dreams. You know what God wants. You know the destiny for your life. You know what God is wanting to do in your life. You know the calling that is there. You know what you should be doing. But we're tempted with that buyout option. For Esau, it was just a bowl of soup. He was so hungry. His brother said, I'll give you a bowl of soup if you give me your birthright. Satan said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you'll just bow down and worship me, if you'll just serve me, if you'll be committed to me and stop this foolishness of chasing around and starting your own kingdom. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you'll just bow down and worship me. And we'll go there sometimes and we'll be tempted with that. And all of a sudden life, all of a sudden the devil, all of a sudden circumstances in this world just say, hey, you can stay right here. You can have this right here if you'll just settle, if you'll just give up that dream. You'll give up that dream of being used by God. If you'll just give up that dream of being a soul winner. If you'll just give up that dream of peace and harmony in your life and in your family and with your children. If you'll just become content with the addictions. If you'll just settle for the frustration. If you'll just settle for the just get by mindset of your life. If you'll give up on this dream of abundance and breakthrough and blessings and fresh anointing and fresh bread and fresh fire from heaven and waters to swim in. If you'll just give up on all of that and just settle right here, I'll give you this. You can have this pew. This can be your pew. This could be your parking lot. This could be the spot you stand at when we come down to pray and worship, because that's all I want you to do is stand. I don't want you to pray with nobody. I don't want you to talk. I'll give you this desk at your job and you can come and put in 40 hours a week. I will not bother you. I will not tempt you. I will not frustrate you as long as you stop pursuing that dream. David, you can kill all the giants you want to kill. You can lead the armies of Israel all you want to, as long as you give up this foolishness of the kingdom, of the throne, of the ultimate authority of the throne, because David can do more at the throne commanding the armies of Israel than he ever could with a sling and a stone. That's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to learn how to use a sling and a stone. 3 minutes and I'm done. Amen. You can throw that stone all you want. You can kill lions and you can kill bears and you can knock a giant down every once in a while. But he does not want you picking up a sword and taking the head of that giant off. He does not want you leading other people in how to kill giants. He does not want you to ascend to a place of authority in the kingdom of God, that when you speak, the heavens move. That when you pray, earth itself is shaken and hell itself fears because you've gone into the deep waters. No, 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 no. Well, just stay over there where your father's sheep are, on the backside of a hill where nobody knows your name, and pick up a stone and a sling every once in a while. And you have your little battles and you'll have your little moments of victory. But don't step into the valley where everybody can see who you are and the work that you've been doing and the consecration and faithfulness of your life. Don't do it. They'll talk you out of it. David's own brother said, what are you doing here? You're not going to go out there and fight Goliath. What are you doing here? You're just here trying to stir up trouble. Get out of here. He goes before Saul. Saul says, boy, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? Goliath is a warrior from his youth. And you're just a youth. Why don't you get on out of here? Everywhere he goes, everywhere he turns, people just trying to talk him right out of his destiny. I want to be used by God. Pastor, I want to give my life to God. Pastor, I'm tired of living in frustration. I'm tired of settling. I want the destiny. I want the will of God. I want the purpose of God. Everywhere you turn, everybody you talk to, come on, David, it's not for you. God's not going to use you. Why do you want to sing? You don't need a microphone in your hand. God's not going to use you. You got to learn. Get you some spiritual earplugs. And you got to know when to close your ears and only hear from God. Stand with me. I'm reaching for somebody in this place today. I sat in my recliner last night. God spoke to me as plain as day. And he said, I want you to tell somebody there tomorrow, I am not through with them yet. Feel the Spirit of the Lord just moved in this place right here. Others have told you, God ain't gonna use you. Your time's past. Got up at 5:30 this morning to drive 2 hours and 20 minutes to tell somebody under the sound of my voice, God is not through with you yet. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. God's not through with you yet. Toward heaven right now. Come on. I need somebody to step out from where they're at right now and make their way to this front. Come on. I need you to move. I need you to respond. Come on. God's not through with you yet. Come on, God's not through with you yet. Come on, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a calling for your life. God's not through with you yet. But you don't know how long I've been gone. You don't know how long I've been settling. You don't know how long it's been since I've been in the deep end of the pool. I'm telling you, it's time to get up this morning. It's time to get out of the shallow end. It's time to get out in waters to swim in. It's time to grow a little bit. It's time to launch out into the deep things of God.
I was great.
settle, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle. Come on, it's been too long since you've been in the deep end. It's been too long since you've been in the deep end. It's been too long since you've been in the deep end. It's been too long since you've been in the deep end.